talk time. Love Boat's here. Do we have Shidano?
Shidano.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Just us.
So you mean we just stopped for a moment just for the Super Crosstalk?
Just us kids.
Just to play that, and now here we are.
And now here we are.
Same guys.
Yeah.
Hey, Cap, let me ask you a question I asked Mason about 10 minutes ago.
Okay, and then I want to say something to you.
Okay. Good.
Why do you think it is that when Robert Sarver and Donald Sterling and other owners in the NBA did something stupid that players across the league spoke up about it? Yet when Kyrie does it, not one player has said a word. Why?
Oh, gosh. Should I say what I want to say, or should I just really watch my mouth?
Well, it's, I mean,
it's Super Crosstalk. Say what you want to say.
I would choose your words carefully,
yeah,
but say what you want to say.
Yeah, say what you want to say.
Okay. The demographics of ownership versus the demographics of players.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Look, what the thought of who these guys are and how dare they say these things, it was offensive. And they lost their teams over saying stupid things, terrible things. But when Kyrie Irving says something terrible and stupid, and Shaquille O'Neal goes on national TV and says, we're all having to sit here and answer for this idiot. And the whole NBA kind of has the Kyrie black cloud over it.
Mm-hmm.
It amazes me that more people aren't not only just offended, but that the league itself doesn't say this is bad for us. Why are we allowing this to happen? Like, why don't we prove that there's consequences to this kind of stuff?
That's what Charles Barkley said the other day. He said he goes, if the NBA does anything now, it's too late because it looks like they're reacting to the backlash.
Yeah.
But what Cap, what's interesting about this is former players who certainly fit into the demographics you're talking about are all criticizing him. Shaq criticized him. Barkley criticized him. Reggie Miller criticized him. I heard Steve Kerr came out today and criticized him. It's current active players won't do it.
Yeah, he's really, he's making, I believe, and this is what Shaquille O'Neal believes, that he's making the league and the former players, and maybe the current players as well, look bad. You know? And they all feel like they have to, like, answer for it. I don't know why the current players aren't saying anything. Maybe they don't want to get involved.
It's because they're in a union and you don't. I mean, I don't know. I
I'll
mean,
be
wrong is wrong.
Listen, when everything happened 2 years ago in the bubble, the mm-hmm. NBA could not have been more supportive of Black Lives Matter and social injustice. And so, I mean, the NBA really led pro sports with that messaging.
And guys like LeBron and guys like Chris Paul and guys leaders in the league.
Could it be as simple as this? When something happens on ESPN, we are often told to shut up about it. If somebody that works for our company steps afoul, we'll get a note from Amanda and she'll say, look, we're not touching this. Even though outside people will. Is it as simple as that? They don't want to bite one of their own?
I don't think that's what it is. I really think it's that there's just nobody who cares about anti-Semitism. Meaning,
really?
Yeah.
Well,
and you say that.
A lot of people.
Well, wait, Cap.
Care.
You say that as somebody who's Jewish, right?
Right. What I'm saying is that during the Black Lives Matter movement, we all heard, "Hey, this is a league that is made up primarily of African Americans. This is a really important issue to these guys." Well, there aren't a whole bunch of the Hebrew Brothers running around playing ball.
Right.
Yeah. I never thought of that.
And I don't know, and I don't know how many owners, because you mentioned Sarver and you mentioned Sterling, both those guys were Jewish. I mean, I'm looking for, I haven't really like surveyed the entire NBA ownership, but as I think about it, I'm trying to figure out, you know, where the person who should really be offended is Adam Silver, the commissioner.
Sure.
You know, but I just don't.
Adam came out with a statement today that almost seems like he made it to keep people at bay. Like it was, he said stuff, but didn't.
Although he also says he's going to meet with Kyrie.
Yeah, he said that this is unacceptable and I'm going to meet with Kyrie in person.
Yeah.
Well, why hasn't that happened yet?
Yeah, and Kyrie is going to donate $500,000 and everybody's going to go, okay, it's fine. You see, all I'm getting at is there's not the backlash for anti-Semitism that there is for race.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's unfortunate.
And by the way,
it's
especially
just a numbers
right now,
game.
Cappy, between Kanye, who's, you know, come out as like the biggest anti-Semite around, and Kyrie, who's elevating this particular anti-Semitic movie. Anti-Semitism is, sadly, it's on the rise, and you're right. People aren't speaking out enough.
And you know what? I heard Jay Williams today on First Take. He's like, well, why aren't we blaming Jeff Bezos and Amazon? And I'm like, okay. I mean, it would be nice if Amazon chose not to put this
sell
on their platform.
Movie. Oh, that's
interesting. It would be nice if they chose not to do that. On the other hand, why are we blaming the platform? Why aren't we going further back and blaming the filmmakers themselves? Why put this kind of content out there?
How far do you want to take it? What was the thing you wanted to ask us?
No, I wanted to tell you something, John.
Yes.
John, I thought your call last night at the end of the at the end of regulation, the Matt Ryan 3.
Yeah.
I thought it was awesome, dude.
Yeah, I was
jumping out of my chair.
That was genuine surprise. And I'll tell you why, Cap. We talked about it in the other crosstalk. I am befuddled. I mean, stupefied. That New Orleans
back to back
defended that play the way they did. Think about this for a second. 1.3 seconds remain. The score is 111-108. Pelicans up by 3. Cap, I watched this unfold before me, and I still can't believe they did it. The Lakers come out of the huddle, and the first thing you notice is that Matt Ryan, whose sole purpose on the Lakers is to shoot threes, has been placed into the game where he hasn't played in several minutes. He's been sitting on the bench for half an hour. And Matt Ryan's in the game. So now, obviously, the Lakers only have one thing that'll send the game to overtime, and that is they can somehow find a way to get a three. All five Lakers go and stand inside the three-point line. And all five Pelican defenders go with them. All five of them. And I'm saying to Michael, wait a minute. If those guys go inside the three-point line, don't even worry about them. Don't guard them. 2 points doesn't hurt you. The second they step outside of the line is when you got to lock them up. Instead, they all bunched up in the middle of the paint. Anthony Davis set a screen. They did kind of this mad scramble that confused the Pelicans' defense. And there's Matt Ryan standing at the three-point line with no one on him. And they let him get the shot off. There were so many things they could have done differently. One, don't guard the two-point area at all. Two, tell the officials, whoever catches this ball, we're going to wrap them up.
Yep.
We're going to foul them on purpose. That's two shots. They can't get three shots for that. That's only two. They didn't do that. They did stick to your man, play man-to-man defense. So when Anthony Davis came over to set the screen on Trey Murphy, who was guarding Matt Ryan, Murphy was a step late. And Matt Ryan, whose sole purpose was to catch and shoot it, did exactly that. Here's Austin Reeves to bring it in with the game on the line. He throws it cross court. Matt Ryan's three. I thought that was
great call.
I wish you would have let it go.
I thought that was just egregious on how New Orleans defended that. Cap, did you think about any of that when you watched it?
None of it. I didn't think of any of that. Not one part of what you just said did I think about. That was amazing. As you were talking about it and you were breaking it down and you were telling Michael, you know, why would they? I'm thinking to myself, are you like, wow, you're seeing this in real time. I was so blown away that the free throws were missed prior to the possession.
Yeah.
Okay. And then to see Austin Reeves make what is a perfect pass. And when Ryan catches the ball, it looks like he looks down to make sure he's behind the 3-point line and in bounds. And then to fall off to the right the way he did and nail that shot. And then here's my favorite part. Russell Westbrook on the bench, not pouting, not upset that he wasn't part of the end of regulation or overtime, screaming, and by the way, this is pre-overtime, screaming his head off that Ryan had just knocked that shot down. Did you guys notice Russ's reaction?
I didn't.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh my God, you got to watch Russ's reaction because it all happens right in front of him. He almost catches the pass. And when the shot drops, Russ loses it. He's not sitting there pouting like, I'm not playing. How come I'm not in the game? He's like, let's freaking go. He's screaming, dude. You got to see it.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, Cap, that bugged me about that game last night. And it was a great win, the most exciting game of the year. The crowd was great. The Lakers, Westbrook, when he played, was great. I mean, it was just a really fun night. With about 4 minutes to go, Lonnie Walker goes flying down the lane and does this thunder dunk.
Crazy dunk.
Lonnie Walker was great. He was the leading scorer in the game, 28 points, played really well. Immediately, New Orleans, I think he put the Lakers up too. New Orleans inbounds the ball, and they're fast breaking the other way, and we get a whistle. And it's the official calling a technical foul on the Lakers bench for celebrating.
Stupid. Right.
It was officials, I've said this, in any sport, I've been around sports for 40 years. In any sport, a good official manages the game. All right. By the book, did the Lakers celebrate excessively? Maybe a couple guys bled onto the court? Probably. Should that have been a time to blow the whistle, call a technical foul, stop the New Orleans fast break, and affect a score of a game that was close? Hell no.
Right.
You can't do that. And I hope the NBA looks at that and says, all right, we know it's a point of emphasis. We want the benches to calm down, but maybe not in a tie game with 4 minutes to go when the action's on the other end of the court.
Yep.
It just was a really bad official's call. It was
Hey, John, let me ask you this question, because last night, to me, two guys obviously, you know, really stood out. Lonnie Walker, obviously, right? I mean, the guy was 9-for-17 from the field, 28 points, blah, blah, blah. Troy Brown Jr., also a big night. These two guys, check me on this, because I had to start researching and looking at some background into these guys.
Right.
I mean, these guys were like superstar high school players. I'm talking like, you know, McDonald's All-American caliber players. As I can recall, they're like one-and-done kinds of guys, right? Like one kid, Brown went to Oregon, Walker went to Miami, and these guys are only like 23 years old, so it's kind of like where THT was. He was super young, and we didn't really see, but these guys, they're up and coming, don't you think?
But Walker's been really consistent here in the first seven games. Brown Jr. has not been as consistent.
Well, remember, he was hurt. He didn't play very much in the preseason. Troy Brown's in there for defense. He's a good defender. He's active. He rebounds well. Troy Brown was buried in Chicago. Lonnie Walker was buried in San Antonio. These are guys, this is the classic, they're getting an opportunity.
Can I just applaud Cappy for actually researching these guys?
Yeah. I mean, it only took 7 games, George, for me to like say, you know, I better look these guys up.
But I mean, when they acquired them, I literally said to you who they were and what they did. It goes to show how much you listened to me when we're actually
talking. No, but
it was months
ago. You know, I hadn't seen them play. Now that I'm actually watching these guys play, when I see Lonnie Walker last night with these monster dunks,
he had moments in San Antonio, though. It just was, you know, there was a lot of young guys, so they were rotating a lot of guys.
Right, and by the way, Sedano, you've worked a bunch of these games like I have.
Yeah.
Why do teams that, and I know I've brought this up with you before, but it's my pet peeve, teams that are up three.
Yeah, why are they not?
Why are they defending the 2-pointer?
Yeah,
I
let
don't
him score.
Get it.
Yeah. Who cares?
Well, yeah. How does this keep happening?
Yeah, I don't get it at all.
I mean, we'll take it. I'm a Laker fan. We'll take it.
I was in Portland last night, so I was able to watch the Lakers, you know, the shortened version of it, whatever that they run during the day. But last night in Portland, not exactly that happened, but the Grizzlies had like a comfortable lead, John, and the only thing they couldn't give up was a 4-point play. And of course, what does the guy do? He contests. They're up four. Like, it was like he contests the shot. And I was like, why are you contesting that? Just let him shoot the three. There's 6 seconds left. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand this. Some guys just have brain farts.
But part of it is instinct, right? Part of it is I spent my whole career making sure I am covering my guy. And even though the coach said, you know, only a three can kill, I still, that instinct takes over and they're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. You're supposed to be coached out of you.
Is that all I get? I guess.
I mean, oh, wow.
I mean, John, you know this. These guys get coached on those things all the time. Like, it's not like a small thing.
Yeah, I don't understand how you can do that.
Me either.
It just, all you had to do was defend the three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The 2-point
or make a free throw.
That ship had sailed, Cap.
Yeah.
That kid's a rookie. That kid from Australia, the rookie that missed those two free throws.
Dyson Daniels.
It's going to be a good player.
They like him, yeah.
But he just, you know, it's a tough situation and he missed two free throws. But the other thing I commented on, George, right before you came on is I thought that the official calling the excessive celebration in a 1-point game
was really bad. That was also kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, no, you nailed it. I heard you earlier when I was driving from the airport. I mean, the Lakers got like four or five breaks down the stretch.
Very
and they
lucky.
Capitalized on it, but they did get some breaks.
Yep, very, very lucky.
As George Sedano would say, I guess.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. That's
there
what
is.
I say too.
Story of my career, yeah. by the
way.
By
the way, I apologize for the tardiness. So this is the most ridiculous thing ever. So I have this car, right? This the Mustang Mach-E. It's a great car. Love
nice.
The car.
Yeah.
So it gets a dent on it. Like I see that there's
that
a dent
sucks.
On the bottom spoiler, right?
Yeah.
And it's a small dent. Like I'm like, whatever, I'll get it fixed eventually. No big deal. So then after that, what ends up happening is, all these new cars now have like what they call auto collision sensors. You know, like
if
you're too close, it starts beeping or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Or sometimes it'll actually stop the car.
Correct.
Stop the car or you're out of your lane. All
correct.
That stuff.
Yeah. Correct. So this dent apparently like completely screwed up my auto collision sensors where they would not work. And I'm like, okay, great. So I took it into the dealer. The guy at the dealer tells me, all right, it's going to be like 4 or 5 days, maybe a week max. I'm like, all right, no big deal. He's like, are you going to use insurance? I'm like, yeah. Here's the Geico guy, like whatever. I called the adjuster. They're all on it. And the dealer, it took 3 weeks to get my car back from the dealer. And by the way, then they tell me, oh, we don't do body work. So the actual bumper, you got to take it to a body shop.
I guess you won't be doing an endorsement.
Wait a second. So you mean to tell me you got the car back 3 weeks later and it wasn't fixed?
Only thing was fixed was the sensors. The bracket where the sensor, because apparently where the dent was ruined the bracket that held the sensors in place. So they had to replace all the sensors. I don't know. I guess that's why they had to replace the sensors and then replace the bracket. And they still didn't fix the spoiler.
So there's still a dent.
Right, so that's where I was just now. I picked it up at the dealership, took it to the body shop, and the guy's like, "Yeah, we can like start fixing it on Monday."
Wow,
and I'm
like, I applaud you. I applaud you.
Yeah,
I told this story yesterday, and I know you guys got to go, but George, I'll set you up with this for the start of our show. I'm too cheap to get my cars even fixed, and they're broken, and they I'm too cheap. Number one. And number two,
insurance.
I know, but I've convinced myself I don't have time to deal with it. Just leave it at that. You know how I get.
Okay. I can just tell you, my check engine light has been on for 6 months.
Oh, people like you drive me crazy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Mace, I could not do that.
I
that's
love
nice.
It. And by,
what's the guy's Mace?
I got it, Mace.
If my wife's check engine light's on and she doesn't tell me, I don't talk to her for the rest of the day.
Mace,
oh, my God.
I get
I'm
it,
with
Mace.
You.
Mace, who's got time to go get your check
Mace,
engine light checked?
What's the guy's name that gives you all the cars? What's his name?
John Patterson at OC Mazda. Great,
yeah. Why don't you just take it to him?
Guy.
The honest answer to that, Sedano, is because John is in Orange County and Mason doesn't want to drive that far.
It's true.
Yeah.
Can we? By the way, can we make fun of Cap for saying that he was going to go to a liquor store? What did you say when you were going to buy the lottery? What kind of liquor store were you going to buy it at?
Well, I was going to go to a tough part of town. You know,
a tough part. You went to Mar Vista.
Mar Vista?
The houses there start at like $2 million.
I mean, Jesus.
You
that's
went not where
to
I
Mar
went.
Vista thinking you were... Because I think there is something to that, by the way. There's a liquor store in Hawthorne where people line up because they've had a couple of jackpots there. But no, Mar Vista is not... That's close to
that
me.
That is
that's
not accurate,
the area.
That is not accurate. Now,
okay,
the name
okay,
of the store...
Phone.
That is not accurate.
The name of the store was Mar Vista.
Oh, okay.
The neighborhood.
Bro, that thing looked like it was like in like that thing looked like that gas station or liquor store wherever you were at looked like it would have been literally in Ireland's enclave like
and,
inside the gates.
And by the way,
like
nobody,
it's that nice.
Nobody won, right? It's 1.5.
No, 1.5.
Yep.
Yeah,
and you know
well,
what I did?
Bring
I
it
went,
on! I'm gonna go buy tickets.
I went back to the same place today.
Back well, to you know Vista. What I'm hoping for? I told Cappy this. I'm hoping for that it keeps going until I have to go to Arizona again because Arizona is one of those anonymous states.
Yeah.
And then if I win, I'll still come to work.
When is the next?
So that guy's you guys aren't on my scent.
When's the next drawing?
Not on your scent.
Saturday night, right?
Saturday is the next super blockbuster.
Really, it's not Friday.
It?
Really?
Yeah.
No,
oh,
it could be Friday. I just made that up.
No,
I don't know.
Monday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays for Power.
Monday,
Wednesdays,
really?
Saturdays. Okay. Hey, that's it for us. Couple of bonus minutes there, Sedano. We are working on a fantasy basketball trade. Maybe we can get.
Yeah,
to that
you and I. We'll
tomorrow.
Figure it out.
We're going to work
yeah.
it out.
Yeah.
Coming up next for you. Tons of stupidity. Lots of Cappy. Lots of Sedano. We're back tomorrow at 1 for an F It Friday here on 710 It Friday. ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, yeah, come on.
Ba-da-bam.
Dee-ba-da-boop.
Bee-da-da-doop.
Ba-da-ba-bee-ding-bum-boom. You okay, man?
You were fiery at the end of the show the other day.
Because you guys, like, just didn't really get where I was going, you know? And then you guys were all trying to shut everything down. The judgment. You know, I can't deal with it.
We weren't judging. We were just trying to help you, but you felt like it was judgy.
Very.
That's you. You always feel like when people are trying to, you know, lend you a hand that they're trying to judge you.
Is that really the case?
I mean, I don't know.
Felt like you guys were very judgy.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I would say look at that man in the mirror.
I'm starting with the man in the mirror.
Cap, sometimes we just want to try and like help prevent you from putting your foot in your mouth. That's all.
That's really very sweet of you, and I do appreciate that. Thank you so much. And
there you go.
Listen, the reality of the situation is,
you know what it was that day? You came across as un mal agradecido.
Bingo.
No, I disagree. I totally see. You see, you're wrong.
How?
See, here's how.
I don't know.
I was going to say that the price tag of the scarf, which, by the way, just want to let everybody know, I'm rocking this mofo right now. I am wearing this thing as we speak, and I'm going to tell you something right now. The back of my neck is so nice and warm right now. Feels so freaking good, you have no idea.
Yeah. Do you know what a mal agradecido is?
Yes, I do.
Really? What's that?
Yes.
What?
It sounds like somebody who's not grateful.
Yeah, wow, look at you. It's an ingrate, yes?
Yes. See, that's not the case. What I was going to do was...
Look at you. Now, did you deduce that based on just like the words and like with like how they sounded?
Yeah, there was a word that you used at the back end.
Malagradecido.
Gradecido. When I heard gradecido, I went, George is telling me that I'm going to be an ingrate.
Yeah.
Not the case.
You. I like how you're deducing. We're making you smarter every day. You're like looking up guys like who are like, you know, 24-year-olds in the NBA who've only been, you know, having a cup of coffee. You know, you're learning Spanish. Like, look what we've done to you.
I don't know. Lately, I don't know. Something's going on with me in the last like maybe 2 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. I'm so much smarter, and I'm usually really smart, okay?
I mean, I don't know about that.
Maybe I only think I'm kind of smart. But the thing is lately I've been feeling much smarter, and I don't know what it is. I'm not taking any new supplements. I haven't really changed my diet or my exercise regimen. Something in the last 2 weeks has made me feel and be smarter than normal. Very clear-minded.
Okay.
All of a sudden.
Are you still not smoking weed?
No, I'm back on it.
Yep, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, he's back on the weed.
Yeah, back on, yeah. Maybe that's it. You ever think of that?
Maybe.
Anyway, I'm rocking this scarf. The bottom line was, the scarf still had a price tag on it, and I was going to tell everybody what it costs, because I don't really know what a scarf costs when I go to a soccer match. Do you guys?
I had an idea, because I didn't have mine in front of me, and when I went home, I realized I was about $5 off of the idea.
Higher or lower?
Lower.
See, I actually thought this was a really well-priced piece of merch.
Well, again, Cap, I think the way that it was, you know, when you're in like court and they say you're leading the witness, it sounded like the way that you were phrasing it, it sounded like you were leading in a direction that was going to come from one of negative or, you know what I mean?
Shame.
I don't know how to phrase. So we were trying to prevent that.
Yeah, it was coming from a place of positivity. wow, this is much less expensive than I would have expected.
Well, if you would have led with that, we would have been like, awesome.
No. Just play it out, Cap, a little bit, Lindsay, baseball.
I know,
all.
Cap, but sometimes, again, we just try and like save you from yourself.
Well, in a three-hour show.
So don't come across, we didn't want you to come across as a malagradecido.
No, I'm not a malagradecido. And I'll just say this. In a three-hour show today, being full 3 hours, there's probably going to be 4 or 5 times, Lindsay, that I'm going to need you to help me out, where you try and stop me from putting my foot in my mouth, because it's going to happen 4 or 5 times today.
Wait,
because that's kind of on average. It's about 1.35 per hour.
Are you being sarcastic or are you being serious? Because no, I honestly serious. Truly think that.
Yeah, no, I'm being dead serious. Help a brother out.
I mean, I remember Mace, like, there's been a few times where, like, we got into, like, heated discussions and arguments during our little prep calls about things that we, I would be like, you can't say that. Yeah. And then after the fact, you'd be like, you're right. I'm glad I didn't say that. I'm glad you said something.
See? So help me out. But in this particular instance, I was about to be all positive.
And we you made you refined is basically what Lindsay said.
Nah, I don't know about that.
I mean, we can't be like 10 for 10 all the time. We had a pretty good batting average.
She basically said you were 2 buck chuck and now we've made you Camus.
Come on. It was not that far.
I didn't say that.
I mean, I said that actually. Yeah.
She's like, Camus, what are you talking about? 2 buck chuck, what's that?
No, I know what that is because I bought Michael Thompson a bottle of Camus for, and I think I bought George one. For Christmas.
Oh, no, 2 buck
and
chuck.
And Cappy gave me one. No, you gave me a Prisoner, which is also very
okay,
good.
Yeah, that's what Morales said you liked. And I gave you the LeBron, I think the LeBron tequila.
Yes, Cappy. The LeBron tequila.
Los
yes.
Lobos.
Yes, loved it, as a matter of fact.
Is it Los gracias. Lobos? No, that's a band. It's Lobos, actually. Los Lobos sang La Bamba. They're a great band. Los Lobos. They sing more than just that song, but yeah.
Lobos came out with like a new tequila. I feel like recently.
Lobos,
yeah. Like a new.
I'm only a tequila
version.
Mandala person. So,
in the meantime, speaking of LeBron,
yeah.
Can I just say it? I mean, I'm just going to say it.
Go ahead, say it.
I mean, I don't know if it's the right thing
I already
to say.
If this is what you tweeted yesterday in the community, I already saw it.
So. I know a lot of people aren't going to be happy about it, but hey, LeBron, listen.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
I'm conflicted.
Okay, why are you
LeBron.
Conflicted?
I am conflicted because on one hand, I'm going to live and die with LeBron.
Yeah. No, you're not. But
no, I am because he's the guy that you've invested all of your money in. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that you've let run your organization. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, the guy who's going to take the last shot, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to live and die with LeBron. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, let's just say you're having a really off night. But you're doing a great job of driving in the paint and muscling to the basket and, you know, creating opportunities for other dudes.
Yeah.
Hey, LeBron, there are certain nights where you should probably just stop shooting. Last night was one of them. I mean, is that fair or is that too harsh?
I mean, I don't know. Listen, let me say something to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know what the first thing that happens when players get older in that sport? Do you know what the first thing that happens to their offensive game?
Tell me.
They start shooting from further and further away. Do you want to know why? And that's you can go look at any of them. Kobe, Michael, LeBron, whoever you want, okay? Mm-hmm. Whatever player you want. Pick the player, particularly a perimeter player. Mm-hmm. You pick any of them, they're all shooting from further and further away as their career goes. You know why?
My guess is because they're tired.
Well, for sure that. A, they're physically beat up over the years, right? B, they're older, right? C, they are also not as agile or fast as they once were because they're older. All those things are the reason these guys, all as they age, start to shoot further and further away from the basket.
Because there was that one shot late in the game. I think there's about a minute and change to go where LeBron shot one that was kind of by the boundary, but way, way beyond the three-point line that hit the front of the rim. And it's like, LeBron, dude, I mean, in the last, I would say, 2 or 3 minutes of the game, he must have missed like 6 straight shots. There are just certain nights where you're not on. So create opportunities for other guys because you're that good that you can do that.
So you're going to tell me the guy who's averaging like 8 assists a game isn't creating enough opportunities for guys?
I'm saying that he should know that when he's off, it's time to not shoot from way out deep like that.
I feel like historically, and Lindsay would know better than me, like he's got a pretty good idea. Like it's not like LeBron has ever really been known as like a ball hog.
Yeah, and I think
I'm not calling him a ball hog.
I think in this case, A, he was sick. He said he hadn't gotten out of bed since Sunday.
All the more reason.
And B, I feel like he also is not on one of those teams where like You know, he kind of has to do it. You know, he kind of has to be the one.
Well, that's why I'm saying, on one hand, it's like, dude, don't shoot the ball when you're off the way you are. And on the other hand, I'll live and die with LeBron because that's who you've entrusted the team with. So
you're also talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Well, 100%. There's two hands.
Yeah.
There's this hand and there's this hand.
Right.
These two hands are not together.
Right.
There's on this hand and then there's on this hand. And then
right.
those are two totally different things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A bird in the hand is two in the bush.
Is that how the saying goes?
I don't know.
I do think today is National Cliche Day, and we should try and see how many cliches we can use in a day.
Oh, my God. And on a sports show, you can get a million of them in.
All right, so that's that. Can somebody keep score? Because I can't do it.
Yeah, I'll keep
score. All right, that's the first kind of cheesy cliche of the day.
Do we want to do like some kind of sound effect when we come up with one?
Like a ding is fine.
Yeah, okay.
So a bird in a hand is, what is it?
I thought it was a bird in the hand is two in the bush or something.
I don't know the saying all that well, so I'm the wrong person to ask.
All right, so today is National Cliche Day, so if anybody wants to go into the Circle of Trust, because we're not on YouTube today, looking for cheesy
cliches. Yeah, I don't feel like being
cliches.
On YouTube, A, because I didn't know how close to the show I was going to get here,
yeah.
And B, I'm also just really tired. I have not slept good in 3 days.
So you don't look good?
No, it's not that I don't look good. I look fine. I'm not in the mood. I'm going to have resting bitch face today, so I'm not going to be in the mood to do that on the network.
I'm glad you declined.
Really? Yeah. Really? Yeah, actually, I was glad you declined also, because me, I'm always like, yes, I'll do it, because I say yes to everything.
Oh, no, you're always that. I can read the text. Let me find the text. It's because here it is. Where is it?
Yeah, it's like I'm probably saying something like, I'm in. Count me in.
Yeah. Josh, I believe, was the one who texted us and said, hey, are you all in for doing live streaming today? And you wrote, I am. Like, literally, like,
yeah,
within, like, it was like 6 seconds after he sent the text.
I know. I had my phone.
And then I
just
simply responded, not today.
Yeah, and when George said not today, I was like, oh, good job, George. And I didn't realize that you had resting bitch face, but I love that you have it.
Yeah, I haven't slept in 2 days.
RBF, huh?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why I haven't slept in 2 days, and also we can get more into the kind of the Lakers thing. Because I do think that there's clearly now some positive momentum here. We have an actual win streak. Let's discuss that next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we can ride... Again. Oh,
I want to rock with you
all night, dance with you, sunrise,
rock with you
all night, and rock the night away. Hey. Yeah.
What was that?
That's a little Michael for you. Come
on. Doing a Michael Jackson. Mixed with like some sort of orgasmic thing.
I thought you were like having a convulsion.
Yeah.
You were like.
Really? There was a convulsion happening?
That's what it sounded like.
Never did I think someone could butcher Michael, but you know, here we are.
There you go, man. Cappy. I mean, it's all you.
All right, so looking for dumb cliches today in the Circle of Trust, because today is National Cliche Day, and Lindsay gave us the first one of the day, something about a bird in the hand and two bushes in the other hand or something like that.
Yeah, bird in the hand and two in the bush.
Is worth two in the bush.
Is worth two. Is it worth two in the bush?
That's what according to Google, it says.
Okay.
Two in the hand
No. One in the hand is worth two in the bush.
One in the hand. Is it because Royce Tony in the Circle of Trust is saying a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush?
Yes, that's what it is. It's better. It's better. Right.
Now let me consult my Google machine again.
Right. The bird in the hand, you have that bird.
How about this one? A birds of a feather flock together.
Okay, there you go.
More birds.
Very nice. Right. But the bird in the hand.
How about whatever's good for the goose is good for the gander?
Another good one. Very solid. Very, more very birds. Good. This Keep
is,
going.
A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush because a bird in the hand is a sure thing. It's in your hand. You already have the bird. If you try to catch another, however, you risk losing the bird in your hand and also whatever it was you were trying to catch. Now you will have no bird in the hand and there's no guarantee that there will be two in the bush.
Right. So why is it worth two in the bush? Why isn't it one in the hand is better than two in the bush?
Maybe it could just be both. Having something for certain is better than the possibility of getting something better.
A lot of people are in the Circle of Trust asking me to translate cliches in Spanish into English. Mm-hmm. But I'm afraid that if I read what they've written in Espanol...
That you may be something you shouldn't read?
Correct. So, Laura, you want to have your finger on the dump button, or should I just not even do this? Here's another opportunity for you, Lindsay, to keep me from putting my foot in my mouth.
Mm.
What do you guys think? Should I do it in Espanol?
Just do it.
No, I'm reading the ones that are there. They're not bad.
Oh, okay. All right. Like this one right here from Darth Navarro. Camarón que se duerme se lo lleva la corriente.
Yeah.
You guys get that?
Yeah.
Do you guys understand what I was
saying?
The
shrimp that falls asleep is the one that gets taken by the current.
Is that right?
What?
Really?
Is that like the same thing as the early bird gets the worm?
No, it's just, you know, don't. Basically, if I'm correct, it basically is a saying of like, if you're just kind of like falling asleep, you're just going to roll with the tide. Like, you're not actually doing anything, you know?
Is the shrimp that falls asleep gets taken with the current a real thing? Because that's very funny.
In Spanish, it sounds way better in Spanish.
Okay, I was going to say, it sounds very funny.
How did you really actually understand it the way I kind of said it in Spanish?
I mean, sort of. Yeah.
That's like the one we used the other day, right? Dime quién es, dime con quién andas y
te diré quién eres. Digo quién eres, right?
Te diré quién eres, sí.
Camarón que se duerme se lo lleva la corriente.
No, you know what you sound like? You sound like a male Siri trying to say it in Spanish.
Nah, that's funny.
That's what you sound like. You sound like
Camarón que se duerme.
No. Do it like you did it a second ago. No. You did it like this. You said, Camarón que se duerma se lo lleva la corriente. That's how Siri talks.
That's so true. Like the guy that
I have. Oh, my God, George.
I don't have
the way
Siri.
You just anglicized that was so weird.
Yeah. Camarón que se duerme se lo lleva la corriente.
Right.
That's like a male Siri. I have a female Siri. I have the same original Siri that it came with. Really? I don't change Siri.
Oh, I have a guy. Like a.
That's fine.
I have a guy and it has an accent.
And like really? An English accent?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good for you. English accents are really like sexy,
cool.
I think.
I like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't think English accents, you know, like I don't know, give me like a British, like Kate Winslet or someone like that. You don't think like her voice is sexy?
Yeah, it's all right.
All right.
I have a hard time watching TV shows that are all with a British accent.
Right. Sometimes I can't understand.
I mean, Game of Thrones is basically that.
That's hard to understand if you don't have the subtitles on.
Because you don't understand English?
Well, it's hard. That ain't English. Right? That ain't the English that we speak here in the United States, Jack.
I mean, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Here's one for Cappy.
All right, what do you got?
Favor con favor se paga.
Say that one more time.
Favor con favor se paga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, he's always hating.
Yeah, favor with a favor.
A favor for a favor. Yeah. I heard that one. I got that one. I didn't get the sempada part, but.
Yeah.
Se paga, you pay.
Se paga.
Yeah,
se paga.
¿Cómo se dice en inglés?
A favor with a favor, it pays.
Right.
Oh, it pays.
Yeah. So, Cappy, you were all in on Russ. I mean, he was fine yesterday. He didn't have, like, a great game. He was fine. He was efficient, which is good for him.
Played
a
nice first half. But he played a good first half. He had a lot of energy. Second half, he sort of kind of got a little out of control, you know, driving to the basket and wild layup opportunities that didn't drop. But, I mean, first half, he played a really nice game.
Yeah. But, you know, like, he's been fine in that role.
To me, George, I'll tell you the best thing I saw out of Russell Westbrook last night.
Tell me the best thing you saw.
Okay. When Matt Ryan drops the three.
And then he goes and tries to chase him down or whatever after.
Right. So you saw it because the ball came to Ryan. And
right in front of Russ. So Russ is on the bench. Yeah.
Right. If he's not there, Russ catches that ball. So when Ryan drops the three, which, by the way,
they drew amazing. That up for him, though, to be in that corner. Like, didn't you see LeBron talk about it? Like,
I did.
Have you seen the video on, like, he talks about it?
I've seen it all. And not only that, did you hear the story about how 2 days earlier in practice, they had pretty much run the same play to him, and he dropped it in a scrimmage that they were playing? Did you hear about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So amazing that this kid... You got LeBron James, and you got Anthony Davis, and you got Russell.
But he's the best three-point shooter. Right. It's not even close.
$150 million wrapped up into three guys, and the guy who was driving the DoorDash vehicle a year ago is the guy who's going to play hero for you.
Yeah.
But when he drops the three, and Russ screams, jumps off the bench, tries to chase him down, to see Russ happy and part of a team victory and not sitting on the bench moping that he's not in the game, to me... There's a whole attitude change that's going on around this team, and I actually think these guys can get a little bit hot now. I said last week, I don't want to give up yet. I want to see what happens. I want to see how it plays out. Very interesting, the dynamics and the things that are happening, and all of a sudden how that coincides with a couple of wins. And by the way, last night, let's face it, a little bit of luck involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Missed two free throws.
Yeah, but that's part of sports. Luck is part of the game. Better to be lucky than good.
And a beautiful pass by Austin Reaves. A great great play call. A gutsy play call by Darvin Ham.
Yeah. I am stunned that they didn't sniff that out better, but like Ireland said.
Yeah, I'm not. I didn't think about it technically like you guys did. Yeah. But I'll just say this. Darvin Ham, to have the guts to say, I'm going with the last guy on my roster...
Well, he's the best shooter, though. Like, it's not, who were you, who else would you have drawn that play up for there?
Well, I mean, I might have said Lonnie Walker's had a really big game tonight.
No.
I might have said, listen, we'll live and die with LeBron.
I know that Lonnie Walker hit five threes in that game, but he's not. You have a very small amount of time, okay, in that scenario, clearly, right? So, you need the guy who's the most natural shooter because the most natural shooter can get it off his fingertips before the clock expires, basically. Like, that's what you need in that scenario.
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm getting at is who this kid is, where he's come from, how he's gotten to the NBA.
I know you love the story. I get it.
Of course, he's the last guy to make the roster, and he's a guy who a year ago... was driving around DoorDashes, delivering food to people's houses. This is an incredible story.
It is.
You have the best player of the generation, and you choose to give the ball to the 15th guy on the roster.
Okay, but that happens more than you think, Cap, is what I'm saying. Maybe not the DoorDash part, but the best shooter on the team is not always a guy who probably plays a lot.
Let me tell you something, George.
I mean, maybe in today's NBA that's the case, but historically that's not always been the case.
When this season's over... and the Lakers are raising the championship trophy, and Matt Ryan is getting the MVP trophy, there will be a movie just like Kurt Warner stocking the grocery stores.
Or do you think it'll be a movie like Rudy that's fake?
No, not like Rudy, okay? I'm talking real movie. Oh. Like Kurt Warner, who's working the grocery stores and he's stocking the shelves with coffee, this guy's delivering Chinese food, okay? And now all of a sudden he's the MVP of the NBA in the finals. And he hits the game-winning three.
Yeah, he's not. That's not actually going to happen.
Could.
Not going to be the MVP of the finals.
Could happen.
No, never.
It's possible.
Nope. Not one chance. Not even an iota of it.
No, there is.
Nope. No. never.
No. You don't think so?
I don't, but I will tell you this. There's a hot rumor about a potential retirement here in Southern California. You want to hear what that's all about?
I'd love to hear that.
Oh, we'll get to that next. Oh, I love Caribbean Queen.
Yeah, good song.
It almost sounds like you say Caribbean.
Right. Caribbean Queen. It's like, what is this song? Caribbean Queen.
Such a good song. I remember this when I was a kid.
Great video,
too. 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah, that puts me at about 13, 14. Stop doing that.
Own your age, Cappy.
Oh, Laura, let me tell you something. I had to start owning my age this morning when I woke up, and my daughter is waking up and she's getting herself together, and she's turning 16 today. 16.
Happy birthday,
happy
Julia,
birthday.
Right? Julia?
Yep. That's my fourth kid, my littlest one, my third daughter, my fourth kid. This is my little baby.
I was going to say, oh, she's your little baby.
16 years old today, man. And now, guys, caution for everybody driving around right now. 11 days till this young woman gets a driver's license. 11 days and counting.
Yeah. And 11 days, and you won't have to worry about taking her anywhere.
George, it's a very emotional thing, my friend, when your little baby turns 16 years old.
Yeah.
You know, like this morning, I was like whimpering.
Like whimpering means you don't have to drive anymore.
Well, no, I was just like sitting there thinking to myself, I'm like, she's 16. Then all of a sudden this stupid song popped into my head. I don't know if it's really the song. It goes, she's just 16
years old.
That's right.
Leave her alone. They say.
Yeah. Who sings that song?
I don't know.
But I want you to know, if I could fly, I'd lift you up. Anybody know who sings that song?
Benny Mardones. Mardones, there we go.
Mardones.
Really? Mardones.
Yeah, I don't know. That song popped
into the night.
I'm sitting there whimpering, like, I can't believe it.
He's as 80s as it comes, Benny Mardones.
She's just, you look at his pictures, 16 years old.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so I'm feeling my age. I'm owning it, Laura. I'm owning it.
Yeah. Benny passed away not that long ago, I don't believe, if I recall correctly.
Oh, R.I.P. Benny.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Who's
retiring?
So, do you want to do that, or you want to do the breaking news that Woj just tweeted?
Oh, break it.
So Kyrie's going to be suspended no less than 5 games. The statement reads as follows. I'll just read it. Over the last several days, we've made repeated attempts to work with Kyrie Irving to help him understand the harm and danger of his words and actions, which began with him publicizing a film containing deeply disturbing anti-Semitic hate. We believe that taking the path of education in this challenging situation would be the right one, and thought that we would have made progress with our joint commitment to eradicating hate and intolerance. We were dismayed today when given the opportunity in a media session that Kyrie refused to unequivocally say he has no anti-Semitic beliefs, nor acknowledge the specific hateful material in the film. This was not the first time he had the opportunity, but failed to clarify. Such failure to disavow anti-Semitism when given a clear opportunity to so deeply is so deeply disturbing. Such failure to disavow anti-Semitism when given a clear opportunity to do so is deeply disturbing and is against the values of our organization and constitutes conduct detrimental to the team. Accordingly, we are of the view that he is currently unfit to be associated with the Brooklyn Nets. We have decided that Kyrie will serve a suspension without pay until he satisfies a series of objective remedial measures that address the harmful impact of his conduct, and the suspension period served is no less than 5 games. So,
whatever.
I'm just curious.
Dude, first of all, look, when Kyrie did what he did and everybody inside the Brooklyn Nets organization had to start answering for him yet again, because he's a team killer, a coach killer, a locker room cancer, a terrible teammate. And by the way, I'm not saying anything today that I wouldn't have said a week ago or a year ago. So they knew what he did, and they didn't do anything. The league didn't do anything, and the team didn't do anything.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Let me just stop you there for a second. Let me just ask you a question. I'm going to play devil's advocate here, okay?
All right, go ahead.
You have stated on this show many a times that you don't love cancel culture, right, and things of that nature, correct?
True.
So shouldn't the idea of being anti-cancel culture being like education, right? Like sitting down with someone and explaining to them, hey, Kyrie, or in this case, right? Hey, Kyrie, this is kind of like wrong for X, Y, and Z reasons. And you give that person multiple opportunities to try to understand what everyone is understanding, that he, for whatever reason, is not equating. And you exhaust those opportunities. And at some point, you reach a conclusion. I actually think the way they've handled it, while I probably would have acted a little sooner, that's just me personally, but I do feel like you need to try to give people a chance to redeem themselves.
So you think that when he donated $500,000, do you think that was like redeeming?
No, I don't. That's my point, is that he did need to come out and publicly apologize.
Right. So you know why he doesn't want to apologize though, George?
Why is that?
Because he doesn't feel like he has anything to apologize for.
I don't believe that. I think you're putting words in his mouth.
Well, no, but I watched his press conference today.
Right. He believes that what he put out there, he is parsing, like from what I saw, it comes across like he is parsing information, like saying, well, I believe in one little slither of the film, but not the overarching feeling of the film. And it's kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if we can do that. I don't believe we can have a nuanced conversation about a film like that. I personally don't believe that that's accurate.
I haven't seen the film.
I have not, but just based on the content of what I've read that it includes, I don't believe you could probably have a fairly nuanced conversation about it because, you know, there are certain things that are just kind of an open and shut case in these scenarios.
Yeah, well, in this instance, he's been such a pain in everybody's ass, though. Like, this isn't new. This isn't first offense.
I agree. Listen, you and I are in agreement in that regard, but if we're just, I don't know if I want to. And maybe I'm being almost too platonic about it, right? Like, or utopic about it, as rather. I don't want to conflate the issues, right? I don't want to stack these issues on top of each other. I'm trying to deal with this one issue on its own at the moment.
But what is the issue that you're talking about? Because to me,
the issue of his posting a film on his Twitter. That has created this scenario that we're dealing with.
And so the Nets suspend him today. You know why, George? Because they didn't do anything when it first happened, but today they got kind of lucky that when they put him in front of the media under the expectation that he would say the right thing and that it would cool down everybody, instead he didn't. Right? I mean,
it's just what I said a moment ago, where I said if you don't want to do the... I feel like, again, you are very anti-cancel culture, and I get it. I don't love it either. I don't think anyone really does.
No, but I will say this: like the other day.
But if that's the position you're going to take, then you have to be consistent and be like, well, okay, then we need to help. We need to explain to people why what they're doing is wrong.
Okay,
right?
So let me ask you this: you ready? Does Kanye West? Should I waste my time trying to sit down with Kanye West, or is it okay that he's been canceled?
Well, Kanye West also has a series of things that he has said about black people too that I felt like right then and there was damning enough for me. And then he has now just added this most recent anti-Semitic language and
right,
commentary.
I don't want to sit here and like say, hey, I'm anti-cancel culture, so I'm pro keeping Kanye West relevant.
No, but I didn't say that either.
Well, what I'm saying about Kyrie is this.
But what I'm saying is there is a more of a history of Kanye West saying outlandish things about minorities of all kinds. Whereas with Kyrie, I don't feel like, maybe I'm missing something, but I don't feel like we have that. So I think that's why the approach was, hey, Kyrie, we just want to educate you on why it is that this is offensive. And he's just being, this is how it feels like from the outside looking in, because I'm not there and I don't know. And honestly, I haven't made a phone call about it because it's not really, you know, it's not something I'm covering like on a daily basis.
Dude, I'm with you. I turned myself off to this story a long time ago.
But what I would say to you is that he's coming across either at the very least naive, which I don't buy anymore,
He knows what he did.
But now more so comes across stubborn is what I would say.
He comes off as arrogant. Like, this is what I want to say. This is what I want to do. Don't dehumanize me. Oh, don't dehumanize me. Well, you know, you're promoting an anti-Semitic film. How am I promoting it? Don't dehumanize me.
Right.
He's always got to be so much smarter than everybody. He's so smug. But here's the ultimate end-all be-all. He's bad for his team.
Sure. I mean, I we could have made that case before any of this. But so there's a tweet in the Circle of Trust that says, the Players Union will get his money back. They will say freedom of speech. Actually, the Players Union had 2 days ago, I want to say, put out a statement about Kyrie and condemning what he said. So that actually isn't accurate.
You know why the Nets are doing this, though, today?
Yeah. Because, and by the way, for John Ireland, who I heard driving in saying that the players haven't said anything, I mean, the Players Union did. I mean, that speaks for the players.
I mean, listen, this is an organization in Brooklyn, freaking New York, like home base of Judaism in America. This is the neighborhood team, and you've got a guy who's already been such a monster pain in the ass to the organization, now insulting the neighborhood? Really? They're lucky he said what he said or didn't say what he didn't say today, that it made it easy for them to suspend him when most people would be like, yo, you're like a week too late. But he saved them today. I'm telling you, man, he's just a bad dude. I would never want this guy on my team, no matter how good of a player he is. he's not worth the trouble, is he?
I would have probably said that beforehand. You know what I mean? Like I would have said that before any of this. Like you're definitely taking a risk, you know? Now, I think as time goes by and new information comes out, I think that pendulum starts to swing in different directions as more things mount up. So to get to if we're going to have the conversation about him and his career arc at the moment, if that's the conversation you want to have, then yeah, I do think that pendulum is starting to weigh down on one particular side, and it's not helping his ability to maintain the ability to play in the National Basketball Association.
Dude, I think that Russell Westbrook has changed his perception in two games.
You become so radioactive that teams are just... I mean, look, by the way, before any of this, to that point, when he wanted out, right? And he had a list of teams, none of those teams on his list made an overture to acquire him except the Lakers.
He's a terrible, terrible person to have in your organization. You may think, I can fix this. He's a great player. I can deal with this. He will kill your whole organization.
We got to go. We have 15 seconds before Laura's going to get into real trouble. So we could continue this conversation later. And also, I will tell you about a retirement that at least one report says it could be looming in the not so distant future here in Southern California. Next.